It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Each month, we extend an invitation to Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto to join us to discuss the things he's working on. And today, the mayor is here to bring us up to date on, among other things, the search for a new police chief, as well as the controversy surrounding ride-sharing companies and new dedicated bike lanes in the city. He's with us in Studio A. Mayor Peduto, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks, Paul.
If you have a comment or question for the mayor, you can join us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Email address ESSPGH at WESA.FM and on Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EP Live. What do you feel is the best way to bridge the gap between the community and the Pittsburgh police? 412-246-2002, the number to call. Mayor, I know that we are at least 2 months away from an announcement, but until the decision is made, I guess we'll keep asking the question, where do things stand in the search for a new police chief?
Well, the application process began about a month ago, and again, we're using Talent City, which is a foundation-backed, nonpartisan approach to finding the best talent nationally to fill all of our key administrative positions. So we've cast the net pretty deep and pretty far. People have been applying. We're continuing to find new sources to be able to utilize to find even more people to apply. And as Talent City is utilizing the best professional metrics and hiring professional headhunting firms and those types of organizations to be able to find the best police chief for Pittsburgh based on experience, education, training, background, all the other components that you would do for a corporate search, we've decided to run a second track. And that second track is, what do the people of Pittsburgh want in their police chief? So we've utilized our zone public safety hearings. We have six police zones throughout the city. Each of them have public safety committees made up of folks who are very active in their community on public safety issues. And we've asked them to help to solicit the opinions of Pittsburghers in this process. Talent City has given us the resources to hire the Center for Deliberative Democracy at Carnegie Mellon University, a nationally recognized basically organization within the university that is able to call together community input and ideas and use it in a way to form opinion and in the same process be able to steer opinion as well. Our goal is to be able to understand what it is that are the major concerns of the broad community of Pittsburgh and then to make that the second component as we look at the professional component of hiring the best police chief.
During news interviews last week, you brought up the prospect of a new federal consent decree under which the Bureau operated from 1997 to 2005 after the Justice Department found that there was a pattern of police misconduct. Why do you believe that it is important to address the topic at this particular time if a new round of federal oversight is not imminent?
These are conversations that have occurred, you know, since the time of the election past November, and it goes beyond just the conviction of the police chief. When you talk with the rank and file about it, they tell you the exact same thing. And it's something that needs to change within the culture, within the police bureau. That starts from the top, and they have to know that they have a mayor that's going to have their back. That then goes into the structure around where the police bureau operates. And that is not simply in a silo of the police bureau itself. So what did we do? The first thing we did is we hired a new solicitor. Previous solicitor had worked for a liquor license law firm, and that was their specialty. Our new solicitor is a former federal prosecutor who in the 1980s went after and prosecuted the drug cartels in Miami. She has earned her way into lead partnership of a major firm downtown, and she was also the solicitor of the Citizens Police Review Board. Lourdes Sanchez Ridge recognizes a top attorney in the city of Pittsburgh. We then took the Office of Municipal Investigation out of the police bureau, so it wasn't police investigating police, and we moved it under the law department. Then we hired a new head of OMI, Deborah Walker, 20 years experience as a cop with the University of Pittsburgh Police, the former chair of the Citizens Police Review Board, somebody who can see these issues from both sides. We have expanded the role of OMI not to just look at police but city, and to be able to recognize where there is corruption that is occurring, not just within police but throughout the city. And we got removed several people who had been investigators and brought in new investigators. And then the next part of it was the creation of a public safety department. So we took the public information officer out of the police bureau, put him in the public safety department, increased the amount of people who are working in the community, and then brought in a new public safety director, Stephen Bukar, former police officer in West Brownsville, former state trooper, former head of counterterrorism for the FBI nationally. I mean, this is the guy, when he was in charge in New York, who set up the New Year's Eve Times Square security for New York City. This is a
guy. No small task.
So a concert coming over to Heinz Field isn't difficult for him to make sure it's safe and clean. So you have somebody, but the greatest part of it is his integrity. So now when we find a police chief and we're looking nationally, and our officers who say to me all the time, we want discipline, but we want fair discipline. That new police chief can look around the structure that they'll be working with and feel very confident that they can do the types of reform that are needed. And the discussions that I had months ago with the U.S. attorney was, give us the chance to do it ourselves. We've got enough good officers. We've got enough of a commitment to doing it. And we have a willingness from the public now in order to make reform real.
And yet, in spite of doing all of these things, you have people coming at you. And one of them is a gentleman who's been on this program, Vic Volchek, the legal director of the Pennsylvania ACLU, which filed that lawsuit against the police bureau in the city in 1996 that brought about the whole federal consent decree. He was quoted as saying recently that he has seen, in his words, substantial backsliding in holding officers accountable. Are you seeing evidence of that?
Well, yeah, but Vic was mentioning since the time that the consent decree ended, this goes back to the McNeely, Chief McNeely, Tom Murphy administration. And yeah, it's something that I've spoken out publicly about as a member of city council during those years. What we've been doing, and you know, I know Vic was saying he wants to see more action.
He's saying that the department is not taking enough initial action against wayward officers, that they're essentially slapping them on the wrist. Do you believe, as he does, that the department needs to be more aggressive about making sure that police officers don't break the law and or violate citizens' rights?
I think the department needs to be more fair. I think that in the past, and this is, again, conversations I have. I had a conversation with a sergeant who told me that he has given up writing up certain officers because he knows that the backlash will come against him. Now, you can't have a police bureau that operates in that manner. There needs to be an understanding that, especially when it comes down to the lieutenants and the sergeants who are really at the front line, that they know that when they're taking action that somebody will have their back. And they also know that the actions that they take have to be equal and across the board. And there is a certain level of discipline that comes when you decide that your career, your vocation, is going to be a police officer. It's a calling. And I know that because my uncle was a police officer. My grandfather is a police officer. It takes a certain type of person that says, this is what I want. And with that, there's also an expectation of discipline. That it's not just being someone who delivers discipline, but you want to be in an organization that has discipline. What Vic is saying, he wants to see action now, is like somebody saying, I want to build a house and I'm going to start with the roof. You can do that, but without a proper foundation, it's going to collapse. What we've done in just 6 months was built the foundation. And even back last year when I was running for office, I said the last person that I will hire will be the police chief because it needs the most work. I've got two things that I have to do. Number one, I have to restore a trust between the community and the police. And that means I have to have somebody who's going to be the person in charge of that bureau who is a great communicator and is literally out in the community, not just sending the zone commanders out. Number two, I need to restore morale within the police bureau. And the only way that I do that is having somebody who can walk with the officers, somebody who has the ability to be a disciplinarian, but it's understood that it's fair, and be able to create an organization around themselves that can support that. And so those are some tall orders, and it's not going to happen like turning on a light switch. I love Vic. I mean, I've worked with him for 20 years, but I completely disagree with him. I think that haste in this situation would be at the greater loss of true reform.
And there does seem to be somewhat of a balancing act here for you. And I point to a quote that appeared last week in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. They quoted an officer, Howard McQuinlan, president of Pittsburgh's police union, as saying that the fact that he, meaning you, Mr. Mayor, continues to label his police department as corrupt isn't helping the average officer in the street. End quote. What is your take on that?
Well, my take is you got to be careful when you give quotes to talk really fast or else it can be taken and only half of a sentence being used. In other words, when I mentioned that, what I said is we have come to expect that there is a culture where there is corruption or at best – I can't remember what the best part was mediocrity, I think. And what I was saying was is that it is a culture that is in within that has been able to allow that to occur. And that doesn't label specific officers as being that way. Although I think that in the past we've seen challenges to disciplinary actions that are very questionable. I want to see a police force that is highly professional, and I'm willing to put in the funding to make sure that officers are paid well, they're trained well. But at the same time, when an officer gets that badge out of after being a recruit and going through the academy, it doesn't guarantee them that they get to wear that badge until retirement. And there has to be rules in place that understand that not all officers, even though they went through the academy, should be police officers. And I think the FOP and I disagree sometimes on that. And I also think that there's been disagreements on other activity. So, you know, what had been in the past about $2 million in off-duty police work is now around $8 million. It's become sort of an industry within the police bureau itself. And at many times, the officers will earn more by wearing a Pittsburgh police uniform and getting off-duty detail than they do as being a Pittsburgh police officer. We have to take control of that, and we have to get the management of the bureau back. And when we bring in a new police chief, I have to assure them that the management will be within the brass and the administration of how that police bureau will be operating. Those are the critical steps to avoid another federal takeover. And anybody who would fight against those is basically setting our sails to another consent decree. And I'm going to do everything I can to avoid that.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're talking with Mayor Bill Peduto, making his monthly visit to the program. You can join the conversation at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Couple more questions about police issues, then we'll move on to other things. If indeed there is a gap between the community and the police department, what is the best way to bridge that gap? And a lot of this I know hinges on the choice of a new police chief and, mm-hmm. and as you just mentioned, his or her being visible in the community. Mm-hmm. That having been said, there's a lot of mistrust out there.
Yeah. No, it comes down to basic communication, which is why we've redeveloped the public safety department and have put an emphasis on community within that department. But I got to tell you, you know, one of the things that I'm going to be talking to people about is community-oriented policing. And we've used that term in the past, and we haven't really done it. I've talked with the police chiefs of Boston, the former police chief of Boston, the police chief of Washington, D.C. There's great models out there that I think that we need to have a police chief that believes in it, not just talks about it, but believes in it. There's a big difference between an officer riding in a patrol car through a neighborhood and an officer that is walking a beat with another officer in that same neighborhood. The first thing that happens is eye contact. And eye contact helps to build communication. The second thing that happens is people feel more comfortable and they'll talk. Once they feel more comfortable and talk, now you're not looking for the one bad guy in the neighborhood. You're trying to find the 10 good guys, the people that give you the intel, the people that give you the advice of what's happening on the street. And you use that intel and you code it. Then you need a police chief that understands how technology can be a part of that. So it's almost like creating a system of a network of understanding the different parts. This bar has been known and this address and the information you're gathering directly from the community gets mapped out. And then you understand that if this person is arrested, this part of the network collapses. It's a system that works. It's 21st century policing, but it really goes back to the officer-friendly component of having that officer who the people know. You go to the Hill District and you ask people who walked the beat in the 1960s, and they can still tell you the officer's name. You go to any neighborhood in the city of Pittsburgh right now and ask them who's their officer is, and they can't. We need to get back to that.
What kind of relationship are you hoping to build with the Citizens Police Review Board?
A cooperation, and that's the interesting thing. By having Deborah Walker now as the head of OMI, who was the chair of the CPRB, and having Lourdes Sanchez Ridge as the solicitor, who was the solicitor for CPRB, it isn't that one will be doing the other's operations. In fact, I wrote the legislation for the city when I worked for Dan Cohen that was after the referendum had passed to be the code for the CPRB. And one of the biggest parts of that was that it was completely independent. It doesn't fall under a department. It doesn't fall under a director. It doesn't fall under the mayor. It doesn't fall under council. It doesn't fall under the controller. It is the Citizens Police Review Board. And you have to be respectful of that. So at the same time, there needs to be a cooperative effort so that what's being done with OMI and what's being done at CPRB helps to assure that there is integrity within the system. Remember, it's the people of Pittsburgh who voted to create the Citizens Police Review Board. It was after Johnny Gamage. It was questions about how can there be this level of trust when the police are policing the police? And what can be a different system that when people give somebody that right, when they raise the right hand to have a badge and a gun, that they also believe that there's a certain level of independence? So the best thing that we can do is to get out of the way, but to at least allow there to be empowerment and cooperation between the different operations of city government.
412-246-2002 is the number to call. 412-246-2002. Email address is esspgh@wesa.fm and on Twitter at esspgh, hashtag EPLive. And Herb tweets, while restructuring the police department, can the city adopt a stance decriminalizing cannabis similar to Philadelphia?
At this point, I wouldn't even put out a statement that could even be construed one way or the other. And that is because I haven't talked about, with all the things that we've got going on right now, I haven't talked to our public safety director, nor would I want a police chief coming in with an administration that was already putting out a position on it. That being said, I think that there are about 13 states that are going to have a referendum to join states like Washington and Colorado in legalizing, not decriminalizing, but actually legalizing. And I think that you're going to see more and more states bringing this issue up. And in states that aren't bringing it up, that's where you're going to see like Philadelphia with Mayor Nutter. There's a large part of my city that are regular users of marijuana. There's a large part of the county jail that they call home. And it would probably be a lot more cost efficient to be able to give them job training than a place in the county jail, and to be able to find the underlying roots of why they are, I realize it's not an addictive drug, but it dependent upon it and self-medicating themselves. And I think,
if I may just jump in, I think one of the concerns people have is that the sentences are too stiff and that a lot of the time it is members of the minority community or African Americans who are put in jail for inordinate amounts of time, and that this is detrimental to our society.
It's not a perception. It's a reality. And it's a reality that keeps a cycle of poverty going. And the same resources that are being allocated towards jail time could be allocated towards job training. So, you know, it's obvious that I have my own thoughts on this, but at the same time, I will work with public safety officials. One other thing I want to add. When we are having these community meetings and going to each of the zones, I'm also reaching out to the FOP, and I've reached out to the FOP to have the same meetings with our Pittsburgh police officers, and even as much as going to the FOP headquarters to have those meetings with the officers so the officers feel comfortable of having an open discussion with myself and Public Safety Director Bukhar.
It's Essential Pittsburgh, and we are talking with Pittsburgh Mayor Bill Peduto, and we have a lot of other issues to get to during the course of our conversation with him, including the controversy, the situation involving ride-sharing operations, as well as a proposal to have bike lanes in the city, and a new way of doing some landscaping around the city as well, which we'll talk about with the mayor. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.